Hear about Rachel? She puts out.
God, she puts out.
Rachel?
Oh my God, she puts
out.
Rachel totally puts out. She puts out. Rachel, you do you out.
You mean that girl that puts out?
Rachel, that podcast that you all love so much, celebrating, putting yourself out there, and trying new things. Thanks so much to everyone who's listened so far. So last week, if you didn't catch it, I talked about kayaking and went on a little kayaking trip in Philly with my friend Elizabeth, and that was a really good time. Again, if you have to urinate, maybe don't listen to that one, but there are, let's see, three other episodes, that you can listen to. Holy crap, they are stacking up, huh? And thank you again to everyone who has rated me on the iTunes store so far in the little beer promotion thing I had going on. Expect in the next week or so to find out whether or not you won that free beer or beverage of your choice. So in honor of Father's Day coming up this Sunday, I'm talking dads. A lot of us have them, some of us are them, and you know, I guess some of us want to be them. As a female-identifying cisgendered woman, I have, you know, pretty decent insight into the mentality around motherhood, all but the motherhood itself. Full disclosure, I am not a parent nor a mother, but I do understand, like, the pressures on women to become mothers, the reasons to do it, reasons not to do it. So I sort of get, like, that mentality. So I thought it could be interesting to hear a slightly different perspective. So I talked with some first-time dads. You'll hear from them in just a little bit about their experiences so far, how much sleep they're not getting. Personally, most of my experiences with dads has been my own.
I meant to text you the other night. I saw my first firefly of the season.
Oh, neat. You lucky dog, you. I haven't seen one yet.
Pretty much lucked out in the dad department. I mean, in sort of like the family department, but trying to stay on theme here. Donald Hugh is my father. Donnie, maybe. Don, never. Never Don. He is one wise, hardworking, sensitive, goofy motherfucker.
Being a father was probably the most significant change in my life. In a sense, it was a little bit of a shock, but a very positive one. So because of all the acceleration that I felt when all of you were born. And when you were born, again, it was a beautiful experience, again, exhilarating. Since I was older, I kind of said to myself, oh shit, you better stay in shape so you'll be around when she grows up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so you can definitely thank his influence on this potty mouth of mine. So thanks, Dad. We had a pretty good relationship growing up. I remember him definitely as the disciplinarian, the rule enforcer, so wasn't a huge fan of that, so I would definitely run to my mom, and she was more of a softie. So once my parents split, the dynamics of all of those relationships started to change. My dad and I had a bit more one-on-one time, especially because my two older siblings were off at college then. We had a variety of rituals. We would make Pop Secret popcorn. We knew the exact time on our microwave to get, like, the perfect pop. I think it was 2:54, so 2 minutes and 54 seconds was perfect. At some point, that became code for popcorn, and then, like, for whatever reason, we shortened that to fufa. 2:54 to fufa. And then I would always like to have a Diet Pepsi in a glass with ice, but then that got shortened to paglai. So to fufa and paglai. I mean, he was always very supportive of me. I think we had a special bond as, like, pretty sensitive people. I, you know, later found out that we would have some commonalities in mental health as well. So for those of you who are unaware, last year was a really tough year for me. I've struggled, or I've, you know, been dealing with depression since I was, I don't know, 20 maybe. There were some signs earlier than that, but that's when the, like, major symptoms surfaced. But it was manageable for a while, and then just because of, you know, getting jerked around by my psychiatrist with a bunch of different medications and being in a bad situation for myself, it just all exploded in my face, and I, you know, I ended up going to the hospital for a little bit. Throughout that whole thing, he was just very, very open about his own experience, very loving, very proactive in reaching out and making sure that I knew that he cared, that he would always tell me that the thoughts that I'm having, the negative thoughts that I'm having, that was the illness, that's not me. You know, I won't go too deep into this because we're not talking about depression. We're talking about the daddies. But this is my experience with my dad. And I think he's one of the wisest people in my life.
Parenting and fathering in particular made me look at my own father and how my relationship with what my relationship with him was like and what I liked and didn't like about being fathered and what it meant to have a father and what it meant to be a man to have a father. Help put everything in perspective and integrate my being fathered, my being a father, my being a grandfather into a sort of a continuum of relationship. When I was studying Buddhism, one of the teachers that I was listening to on tape or reading said that in Thailand or in Southeast Asia, when a serious man wants to get married, he goes into the Buddhist monastery for like a year to meditate and so that when he gets married and has kids, he won't pass the seeds of suffering that he inherited from his own parents onto his children and, you know, as well. Your podcast is all about experience and it has been and continues to be quite an experience and one that I'm much, much, much the better for. It's a great thing. On Father's Day, I should like call all my children and say, thank you for being my kid.
I think he is very expressive with his love, which is amazing, and that's what I need from the people I love. One of the things that's like maddening about him sometimes is that he has got such a practical mind, and sometimes I'm jealous of that. I am like the exact opposite. I process information like emotionally before anything else. So sometimes he can't really meet me on that level. But besides that, he's really goofy and he loves to like joke around, play around. It's been very interesting seeing him with his wife's grandkids. So like his grandkids, seeing like that goofy little child interaction coming back.
Our son Remy is about a year old, and you know, every once in a while he does like the predator squeal. And you're like, how did you even know that?
Terrifying.
I'm lucky enough to know a great new dad through improv, and he was able to get me in touch with a couple other new dads, so we sat down this past weekend to talk dadding.
My name is Matt. I am 26. My baby is 9 weeks old. I work in homeless services.
My name is Terry Lai. I am 34 years old. See, I have a recently turned one-year-old baby at home, baby boy. His name is Remy. And I work for a mortgage insurance company.
And my name is Chris Gebert. I am 37 years old. I have a daughter who's 6 months old. I do research, like library stuff professionally. We all, like within the past year or so, I mean, Remy just turned a year, but yeah, we've all become new dads.
So what's changed, either just like surface level or maybe like deeper than that, like personality-wise or like spiritually, mentally, whatever, like what has changed for you since having a kid, a baby?
I'm going to say there's certainly like, and I keep falling back on this, we get like the sleeplessness, like it's no joke. It hasn't been a joke for me. But at the same time, like there's like the, I don't know if it's like a protection type of thing or what, like you just wake up because you're like, something might be happening. Like our daughter just like started sleeping in her own room overnight, and that's been mostly fine. But she like, it coincided with her like rolling over and like trying to like sleep on her face. And then we're like, she's fine with it. She doesn't care if she's sleeping on her face, but like we care.
Right.
And we're like, don't sleep on your face. Please, please don't sleep on your face. So it's like that trade-off that you're willing to make. You're like, I don't care if I'm not sleeping anymore. Like, as long as, but it's also like not possible to like not sleep at all.
Right.
Like I need some sleep.
Sure.
I can't watch her all night. Do you sleep?
Well, now I do, which is why I think it's helpful reminder for me because I do sleep well now because my son sleeps through the night most of the time. I'd say 98% of the time he sleeps through the night. So once he goes down at 7:30-ish,
8. He'll sleep till 5:15 in the morning. We would love for him to sleep till 6, but he wakes up at 5:15, 5:30. You know, on a good day, he'll sleep till 6:30. So I'll take that. But I remembered back when, you know, Remy was about Ava's age, or even Christopher's age, and he was tough. You're right. It's no joke. And I think you go through like an autopilot mode.
Yeah.
When you just say, all right, this needs to get done.
Like your short-term memory is just like shot.
Right.
Like, and that's like, I tried to think back to where like 9 weeks, 10 weeks, and I'm like, I don't remember what that time
exactly.
Was like.
Oh my God.
That's so sad.
It
you
is.
Know?
It's sad. Yeah,
because
sure.
I'm like, I treasure those times so
me
much.
Too.
But like, I'm like, I don't really remember them.
That's right. It's also kind of surreal because you're thinking, I don't know, like for me, I'm like, I have a great memory. I like to think of myself as having a great memory. So I remember when I thought to myself, oh, I'll remember every stage of his life. So
I'm going to offer a slightly different perspective, but like I'm living with a little bit of fear because I guess for the first 6 months of a baby's life or even longer, like this is my understanding, is that their sleep pattern can be really erratic. Like you think that they're in a rhythm. But like that doesn't mean that it's like permanent. So like
there's like Christopher regressions and
for the last month has been sleeping 8 to 9 hours a night straight.
What? Well, lucky bastard. My wife made me promise that I wouldn't say this on the podcast.
But the last four or five nights, he's been waking up every 3 hours. So like I'm kind of right now living with that fear that like, okay, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I was sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
That was great. And now I like got used to being around him with like being a dad on full sleep and everything was hunky-dory.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the last few days I'm like, I really hope this doesn't continue. Yeah. I hope. Go back to what
back.
You remember when
you knew it.
You knew how to do it.
You were doing it. And
Yeah. No, if we had ever been there, then I would have some kind of sympathy.
I know. I don't have any sympathy. I'm not going to lie. Zero sympathy for you.
Have you been like surprised by anything that's come up for you in becoming a dad?
Does I think for me, if from that perspective, I think the one that surprises me was, you know, you can read all the books that you want about parenting. I mean, we were so diligent. I'm not a reader, and my wife will tell you this. She's like, oh,
you are literate though.
I am. Thanks for that clarification. I read a lot of the books with how to sleep train your baby, and you read a lot about what this person says you should do, that person says, and we thought we were well prepared. I mean, I read the book, and before Remy was born, the expert says babies fall into these five categories. You have the angel baby, the spirit of baby, the angry grumpy baby, you know, like the go with the flow baby. And I'm like, all right, well, this is good. And so I find myself, you know, when he was born, I find myself trying to figure out where does he get categorized, because then if you're an angel baby, you're set. But then you know, there's only a couple things you need to do. But if you're a spirited baby, then the expert offers this type of advice. So I'm trying to figure out where he falls into that category so I can follow this quote-unquote manual. See, the one thing that's an insightful moment for me and for future dads is that I'd say throw those books in the garbage and light them on fire or
whatnot.
I might be exaggerating there. But it's all about, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I might be exaggerating. It's just that perspective really changed for me because I thought, well, Remy will fall into this category. So as long as I do this, he'll be okay. And, you know, it's like, if I look back into my life as a dad, I'm like, well, you know, my thinking is that you do the best that you can and you try to use the books as a guide, but just don't follow it to the T because you're going to be disappointed.
I kind of know what you're talking about because, I mean, I was trying to, and then, like, even after she was born, I was trying to still, like, read and be like, okay, well, this is what's going on with her, like, developmentally now, and, like, this is how we need to, and part of it is, like, figuring out, like, what information to pay attention to and, like, actually take in and what you're just going to be like, this doesn't apply. But that's, like, from books or, like, from other people. I don't care what other people have to say right now. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just going to and like go with my instinct a little bit more, like trust that a little bit more. I mean, somebody just said to my wife the other day, like, oh, well, it's unusual that a baby's not sleeping in 6 months. And it's like, okay, great. Like, that means this baby's unusual right now. That.
I mean, we are very lucky to have my mother-in-law and my mother, like, come in and do childcare. So it's been very great for us to get back to work and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, everybody has, like, an opinion. And, like, it's really, like, and then, like, these wonderful women haven't had children in, like, 20 years. So,
sure.
Like, you know, sometimes there's new thoughts on this, you know? Like, that's kind of where we've come to, like, I'm listening to our pediatrician for about the important things. Because, like, I'm not a doctor, and I'm going to trust this team of people at CHOP, which we love CHOP, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know, are you guys at CHOP South Philly?
Love, yeah.
We live two blocks from there, which
well,
is awesome.
We love CHOP because that's where he was born, I think. No, Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
No, Pennsylvania. I am.
Hayden Spruce?
Yeah. I hope my wife is not listening to this.
Terry was at the wrong hospital.
I had a couple mentors through her pregnancy, fathers that I was asked seeking for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And one had like taken this 12 to 16 week course on like, you know, how like on a birthing course, like with the mother, and like just in like so much preparation, like 2 hours. Basically, like, 36 hours of, like, preparation for the actual birth. And then the other kind of was like, yeah, so people have been having kids for, like, thousands of years, so, like, you don't really need to prepare. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to, like, split the difference. Like, because, yeah, I think that spending all the time reading can almost be, like, a detriment to, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's overload of, like, information. Like, things can be communicated in, like, concise, like,
especially
points.
If, like, you're not really, like, learning anything. Like, you're not, like, taking the information in
yeah.
and, like, processing it. And it's like...
Going back to, like, people offering advice, I know it's a thing, like, mommy shaming, especially on the internet, is a big thing.
Yeah.
Just because, I guess, people... get their opinions about how to do certain things, which carriers to get, like what car seats or whatever. I guess, I don't know, have you experienced that at all? I know like with social media, I think it's become more of a thing because like you post innocuous pictures and then people are like, oh, you should really hold your baby this way.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing. I don't know if you've experienced any of that or if that's more of like moms experiencing it more.
I just had my first dad shaming. Been dad for about a little over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Mommy shaming thing, it's a thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a big deal. And Krista, my wife, has gone through, I can't even tell, countless amount of times at a grocery store or when she's taking our son walking around on Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
She had people honked at her and say, hey, you should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. And that just irks me to no end. I mean, of course, and that really impacted her too.
Yeah.
But, and she's like, and then I'm like, what never happened to me? Because I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to fight back.
You need to come back,
right? Because right. Because a lot of times we go out walking with, you know, together, and I'm I find myself actually saying, Terry, today is going to be the day that someone's going to confront your wife, and you're just going to step in, and you're just going to lay it on that person. So, anyway, then that didn't happen. And Krista said, I think it's probably because, you know, like, I'm with you. So no one wants to call out if there's a guy there. Because and I believe that. So I went through all my, you know, my parenting life without getting called out until, actually, it was last week. It was last week that happened. I was in this at the store with my son and in the city. And my wife was just, you know, in the store looking for some summer clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Remy on my shoulders, just walking around the park and everything. He loves to be on my shoulders. And
mm-hmm.
so I walked into the store looking for my wife to see how's everything going. And I saw the security guard looked at me and kind of like shook his head and kind of smiled a little bit and
mm-hmm.
shook his head. I'm like, oh, what's going on? So I looked at him and I'm like, and he motioned, you know, it's like, well, he motioned kind of like to me that he was going to come over. So don't worry. So I walked over to him. He kind of in the middle and he said, I wouldn't really do that. If I were
mm-hmm.
you, I'm like, excuse me. And he's like, yeah, you know, like if I have, you know, if it's my son, I wouldn't carry him on my shoulders like that. I'm like, well, why? He's like, well, it's because I think it's unsafe. And so I'm like, Whoa. So that's where I got really defensive in there because first and foremost, you don't know my son. You don't know whether or not, because I hold onto his legs, like feet, with death grip. And plus, I know him. I've been doing this for the past
goodness, 4 months now, three, 4 months, and or more. And I just got really annoyed because here is this guy trying, you know, I know it's coming from a good place. And I told him, I felt as if you were judging me. And he's like, well, yeah, if you, I'm not judging, I'm just saying. I'm like, well, but then he's like, I'm sorry if I offended you. And I said, yeah, you did. That's my first experience of being that shamed, if you will. And I never understood what women went through until I went through it myself. So now I have so much more respect for, I mean, not that I never, I always had a lot of respect for women get got called out, but I didn't know how it feels like until you go through yourself. And that was, that got me all ticked up. And I was even mad and angry after about 20 minutes later.
Most of the time when we're out in public, like he's just in a stroller, like, what are you going to like? But I've experienced very funny dad shaming to me, and it's made me and my wife laugh. Because so we have, the block that we live on in South Philly has several large Cambodian families who, and there's a language barrier. We're very friendly. We have great, like, great relationships. We barbecued with them, like, blah, blah, blah. It's great. But they don't, there are a couple of the older ladies that don't have a lot to talk to me about, but they know my name and theirs. And like, so anytime I'm out with Christopher, they always point something out that like I should be doing. They're like,
oh,
when he was young, when he was like a month old, they're like, he shouldn't be outside. And I was like, we're going to the doctor. Like, how am I going to get to the doctor?
I'm gonna answer a little differently because there's a level of like, maybe it's praise, like dad praise that you get that's like pretty much undeserved.
Oh. Yeah. No, that's true.
Like you're just walking down the street holding your baby and people were like, oh my gosh, you're doing such a good job.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
This is expected of me.
Yep.
This is like,
yep,
I don't need
agree.
Praise for this.
Yep.
And it's kind of disappointing.
It is.
Just within like the context of like new mothers like feeling like the opposite of that.
Yeah, that's a good point though, Chris. I mean, that's just adding to what you're saying. Like, so I take my son to grocery shopping every on the weekends because that's kind of like our thing. And I take him out of the house so I can give my wife a little bit of break, you know, so he gets some time away from the baby. I carry him in front so in a way he can see everything. So there's a couple of times I've walked around and I'll just tear up one part of like maybe a kale, like broccoli or fennel. And I just give it to him because he loves to hold onto things. And I'll just like chew on it.
Mm.
And I have like people come up to me and say, oh my goodness, you're such a cutie. But oh, you're so healthy. You're eating some greens. In my mind, I'm like, oh yeah. Then it occurred to me later that, well, I didn't wash this. And I thought to myself, if the roles were reversed, if my wife had him and she was doing that, I wonder whether or not people would have come up and have the same
right.
sort of like, you know,
yeah.
Ooing and aahing over the baby and saying, oh.
Has anyone seen Hereditary yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess dads. No. Would you go see the movies?
Movie.
Yeah.
I saw Blade Runner 2049 is on HBO now. Terry and I tried to go see that movie.
Yep.
We were going to go back. All of us were going to go back in the fall.
I remember that. A movie seems pretty... A movie seems like a hard thing to undertake as a parent right now.
Because
it's just a lot of time. Movies are totally on the docket.
Yeah.
Well, especially when they're not like... Because we're at a point where he's loving music right now.
Oh, yeah.
What
do you guys listen to?
Well, now that my mother's staying around the area and babysitting, he's listening to classical music all day. But we were watching some TV with him. That was some of the advice we got from friends beforehand. They were like, when you're on maternity leave, you can watch TV because he's not trying to watch it at that point. You can like, you don't have to worry about like sensory stuff.
As they get older, like, Academy of Pediatrician says like no screens before 2 years of age. So even like she sees me on my phone a lot, and I'm gonna try to like limit like don't be like this.
So did you watch it? Did you guys have any like television screen on like at all since she was born or no?
When she was really young, and we were like, yeah, this is totally fine. She doesn't even care. We'll just turn around the other way. And then, like, she started being like, oh, what is that? It's like, just forget about it.
We don't have screen time either.
But then it's like FaceTime communication.
I know.
Like, well, that's fine.
That's fine, right. Mm-hmm. I know.
There was somebody saying that they babysit a baby who's a year and a half who can navigate their own iPad.
Mm-hmm.
The entire thing.
Well,
like, the baby has an iPad.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, me, because I'm, like, I want to raise. Like, I was raised, I couldn't play video games or like anything like that, like television. I was all like reading. So I'm like, I want to do that with my kid.
Right.
But then also the baby that's probably navigating an iPad a year and a half is going to be like some kind of like tech guru when they grow up. It's a hard thing to,
yeah. Like making decisions like at, for like parenting and like just totally like doesn't turn out the way you thought it might. And then you're like, oh, wait.
That was
unexpected.
I think the television thing can be a real shame, like, I mean, for people that like nowadays like if you're like,
that's so interesting because like as far as the screens that we have now, it's such, I mean, relatively a new technology. Right. So like there isn't that much research or like as far as like longitudinal studies of like what happens when they use this many screens or like this much or see
what
this.
What does a 25-year-old who's been looking at an iPad for 24 and a half years, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
How different is it from previous generations and like how correct is it? Because like so much happens with screens now too.
Yeah.
Like it's tough to, is that making it easier for me to be like, well, it's fine. I can be on my phone all the time.
Yeah. Or like they can be playing with my phone, like to distract them.
Right.
It keeps them quiet.
So just trying to like make a decision that like puts the child first and you're like, I have a lot of information about this. But I gotta make a decision anyway.
Have you noticed your relationship with your parents or guardians has changed?
Yeah, we are seeing them more regularly. Like they come 2 days a week to watch her, and then my wife's mom comes like 2 days a week. So it's like parents in our house all the time, which is different.
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably nothing has changed, but I would say maybe being a parent really does allow me to have, not that I've never had appreciation for my mom, because I did. I love my parents a lot. And as they get older, you know, things probably change a little bit, right? Maybe be bigger on some other things to do with finances and everything else. And as I have my own, you know, as I go through the parenting of my own son, I have more appreciation of how hard it is for, I guess, for them to maybe parent me, and they're just trying to do the best that they can at their, when they were young. And so that's for me, if I find myself getting annoyed with them, I would be like, well, wait a second, you know, it's like, let me think about like what, you know, how hard it is for them to parent me. I know I probably wasn't the easiest kid. It's, that really does put things into perspective a little bit for me, now that I'm a dad.
I agree with both things, but specifically the specifically for me, like I think I feel a lot of what Terry just said, but specifically for me, I feel just really appreciative of what both my in-laws and my parents have done in the last 9 weeks, like in terms of like similar to what Chris was saying, my in-laws who both work, you know, they're both pastors at a church in South Jersey, and they've been coming twice a week so that my wife can work part-time from home and go into work, and I can work. And like, and now my mom is going to be staying in an Airbnb and then an apartment because she's an educator, so she has summers off. She's going to be up here for like 6 weeks in the summer so that she can provide childcare. Because guess what? Childcare is fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Pardon my French, but like, it's baby is expensive. that's like an underlying thing in with this, but like I just feel a lot more of appreciation for both my in-laws and my parents because they have really just like stepped up, and they don't even look at it, they just want to be around the kid. Like they're not looking at it like, oh, like we're saving you $1,000 a month. No, they're like, no, we want to be here 2 days a week because we really, really want to be around him for 8 hours a day.
Especially
which is really
such
awesome.
A young age too. Like that's like, you can't just like putting them in, in childcare at like such a young age. Like they're not even interacting with people, just like leave them there.
Yeah, I just definitely have more, and with that appreciation comes understanding with like, you know, people being in your space. Like we're not used to having people like just exist in ours. We live in a 2-story South Philly row home, like not huge, like, and people being there for like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
At first I, you know, everything had to be like, whenever people are here, like I have like my whole persona is like, everything has to be like 100% perfect. Like everything. I was like, first, like, cleaning the house every single day, like, scrubbing the floors, blah, blah, blah. And, like, now I'm just like, no, like, it's clean.
Yep.
No, like, it's clean. Just trying to be okay with people in your space because you just appreciate them being there.
Have you guys run into kind of, like, maybe it's too young now for, like, parenting type of stuff, but, like, we'll, like, ask, yeah, our parents to, like, do things, like, this way, and they just don't. How much do I care about this?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so we haven't because, like, so young.
Yeah.
But I know that's coming. I think that my in-laws and my parents will be very respectful of, like, things, like, in terms of raising a child, like, with, like, if we say no screens. Like, they're not going to sit there and be like, no, we're going to watch TV. Like, no, they won't.
The fortune is on.
Yeah, like, no. I don't think that would be a problem because they're respect. It'll be more like, I mean, it's one of the things my wife and I talked about as we get older because we're so connected to both our families. And we have similar views in a lot of ways, but also just different, like, everything from, like, slightly different spiritual views that with certain things that are divisive from all those things that come out of that. I don't know what's going to happen. That was one of the things I was most worried about during pregnancy, was, like, raising a kid in such an interconnected family, but wanting to raise him in a different way than both my parents and her parents.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But actually, I haven't even thought about it since. This is the first time I've even thought about it in 9 weeks. So. Like, all I feel is just so much appreciation and love for my in-laws and my parents. So.
Yeah. I think for my parents, my dad's still in Malaysia, so he hasn't really had that much time with the kid. But my mom has been over a couple of times, and she has been, you know, I think she has been more receptive to some the way how we want Remy to be parented. Although, like, we haven't really left her with him and say, hey, take care of, you know, of him for a few hours yet. But the one contentious thing, I'm not sure if nobody told you this, was when my mom was sick. I mean, maybe it's in, so I grew up in Malaysia, and in, I guess, in Asian culture, if you're sick, you don't really pay too much attention to washing your hands and wondering where your germs carry. And she was nannying for a friend of mine for a little bit, and she fell sick, and she just wants to come back, you know, to our house just to regroup and just to rest up. And that really impacted my wife, because she's, you know, she's like, wait a second, you know, does she not know that we have a baby at home? Why would she put him at risk? You know, so she just doesn't think about that way, because it's not because she is a mean person, but my mom just says it's just not enough culture to think about, oh, my germs carry, I probably shouldn't be going over to my son and daughter-in-law's place because they have a new kid. There was a time where she woke up from a nap and she came down and my son was eating and she just goes, oh, that's so cute. And she went over and she was, like, sneezing all over, and she, like, touched his head and touched his legs. Yeah. And I've told her when on the way back to our house, and hey, mom, just try not to touch it, because and make sure you wash your hands. And she just doesn't remember.
How much you want to have more control.
Yeah.
Or, like, what the baby interacts with.
That's right.
And, like, experiences than you actually can.
Yeah.
And that's, like,
this
is a moment where, like, I'm making a decision, and if it turns out horribly, I'm going to think about this.
I know.
I'll remember
like,
this.
Try to make a decision like, in that moment to be like, no, this is fine. This will be fine.
That's my wife's mantra. She's like, this will be fine. It's fine.
Fine.
I swear she says it once. It's like, scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's easier to take a risk with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You have some, right.
I don't know. There's a lot of joy in it for me. Just, like, seeing her, like, interact with things. Like, she's, like, laughing and stuff now. And it's, like, a lot of fun to, like, spend this time with her, but also be, like, completely exhausted.
I think that if we were to have another kid, which we don't plan on doing, my wife had a terrible pregnancy. She had, like, for, like, 4 months, she was puking from the time she woke up in the morning to the time she went to sleep at night. And then she had a horrible delivery. Like, they thought at one point that the cord was wrapping around his neck. And, like, and then he was fine, natural birth.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. She was in so much pain. In the last, like, 3 weeks of her pregnancy, were just like, she just felt so terrible, 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 that she feels amazing now. It's all she's like. She's like, I just am so much happier. I feel like myself. I feel like because her pregnancy was so bad, like, this, like, transitioning into, like, being a mother has been
such a positive experience for her, where like even like the waking up or having to breastfeed every 4 hours is like, she's like, this is nothing compared to, for me too, as well. I mean, obviously it's so much more dramatic for her.
Sure.
Because for obvious reasons. But like for me too, like watching her go through that essentially is like, was more difficult than what's happening now. I wouldn't hope for a rough pregnancy, but it's made it a lot. I think it's made the transition a lot easier. I don't know what anybody wants to do with that statement, but right? And yeah, watching a baby smile is better than any like decompression or relaxation thing that I can do. Like, I can go for a run, I can take a bath, do a lot of things, read a book, read a book. But like when he smiles, like it's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's I would say the same thing. It's, I used to tell myself, you know what? I'm going to be that dad who's going to be the cool dad. I'm not going to do any baby talk. Forget about it. No way. I'll be like,
that's not cool.
That's not cool to talk a baby, right? I'll be like, oh, hey, bud, how you doing? Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah, right. You thought that?
I thought maybe I'll just limit a couple of like stupid songs, you know, for the baby, but that just went out the window because, you know, as soon as he came, and then you're right, like, I would do anything to make him laugh and to make him smile.
Mm-hmm.
If it means reciting the same stupid song with a ridiculous voiceover over and over again, or to do little baby talks, you know, because I know he likes them. I don't want to talk baby talk. I want to be the cool dad. Yeah, that was humbling because I really thought maybe I don't need that. You know, maybe I'll be like, just like, well, whatever, you know.
Maybe my baby will recognize
me. I knew I had no chance because I've been talking to my dog like a baby since I got it. Like, I used the dog. And, but my whole thing was like, I'm not going to use the same voice that I use for the dog.
Yeah, of course.
And I do.
You can't help yourself. I come up from, I was like, hey, buddy. You're like, what? No. I'm like,
that's not cool, Terry.
That's not cool. I want to be like, cool. Hey, buddy.
Well, that's a weird voice, too.
But it's like ridiculous, you know. But the things you do for your baby, just to watch him smile and laugh, it's endless. So, and sometimes it gets so you can't even control it.
Yeah. I didn't realize, really, like, I knew what I was saying, but like my mother-in-law pointed this out, or my father-in-law, they were over, and I call him Doobie. Doobie. they're like you call him Doobie? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. Like I was just, like talking nonsense to him. They were like, oh, he's going to be a little butthead.
Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't even thinking about it like that at all. I was rhyming things.
Yeah,
like, it just ended up there and I was saying it without even realizing it. Yeah.
That's funny. My dad gave me a pot-related nickname too. Cheech.
On purpose?
Cheech.
No, I don't think on
again,
purpose.
Could have just been like, you know.
Yeah. No, it was. It's because he does this. He does it less now, but he would take my name, Rachel, and then just start sort of adding syllables. So, like, sometimes an innocuous one would be like, Rachichichachum. Rachichichachum, bingo, bingo. Just, like, keep going. And so sometimes when he was just wanted to get to the point, Cheech was always, like, the, it was right in the middle. So we would always use
but
that.
But it goes back to, like, what Chris is saying with, like, not even, or earlier about, like, not remembering how passing of time and also when you're just so immersed in something you can't turn it off when company's over it's like I can't just not do it like it's not like I'm just like this is me now sorry I'm very weird
I don't think about that now before that I'm like oh man you gotta watch yourself Terry. You know, you can't be the Terry dad with friends over, you know?
But no, it's like part of your identity.
It's part of my identity now.
Like, I say nonsense.
I know. You're completely right. I don't even care what people, you know, I don't even care people think that I'm not cool anymore. I'm just like,
it doesn't feel weird until, like, you're not just there with you and the baby and, like, your spouse. Like, nothing seems weird.
No.
The moment that like that you're doing
whatever
it is and then like you add other people into that element and you're like I guess it's a little weird I guess what I'm saying is ostensibly weird but you have to understand the whole thing
in the context they're
fine. If there's one thing you know like I would give a plug to is it would just be to say that
being a stay-at-home parent is the hardest job in the entire world.
Like, it's impossible.
It is impossible, and it makes me have so much more respect for my wife. You know, she is a stay-at-home mom, and she's also an artist, you know, like, and she, well, every little time she gets away from the baby, she does artwork, and like, but the amount of, I tell her all the time, and about how I can't do what she does. I can't, that's why I, for me, you know, yeah, I'm the one to bring some of the money, right? But it is inconsequential to what she does, where she's with our son, like, maybe close to, like, 11 hours a day, you know? And I come home from work, you know, I spend time with him an hour and a half, give him his bath, you know, sometimes give him his dinner, and read him his books, and that's it. You know, whereas she's with him constantly, and I, like, and during the weekends, that's why I try to give her a little bit more time, you know, where I try to get as much time with Remy as I can. And even that makes me tired. I'm like, oh, because he's constantly moving. And even when he's like at Ava's age, or maybe it's Christopher's age too, he, it's still work. And you're constantly with him. You're like, oh my goodness, I just want a little bit of break.
Yeah, and he just so, wants to be held. All
yeah, time. Exactly. Yeah. And you just don't, and then... Yeah, and it's just, and to do it, for, like, every single day, Monday to Friday, it's just the most thankless and the most hard, I think, it's the most hardest job.
And it requires so much discipline, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, like, you have to, like, take care of yourself and, like,
of course.
Your own interests. Like,
yeah.
When the baby
yeah.
is, like...
Shout out to all those, you know, moms, full-time moms out there.
And full-time dads.
Full-time dads, yeah.
I'm gonna say I'm anti burning.
just on record.
Just
on
so,
record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I went to library school, so.
Right.
Most of my life, I thought I wanted to be a parent. I think a lot of that was just sort of, I thought it was expected of me, just like, you know, you go to college, then you get a job, and then you find a spouse, and then you guys buy a house, and then you have a kid or multiple kids. And so, like, I think a part of it was sort of just programmed in me that I should want that. But there's also, like, this nurturing element in me that I think... I would A, be a kick-ass mom, and, like, I really want to share that. I really want to contribute to the future of our society in crafting the next generation. So that was part of it, too. It wasn't until I got married. This is so counterintuitive or ironic, but when I got married, that's the first time that I questioned it. And maybe that was, on some level, a signal to myself, like, hey, maybe this isn't the right guy for you if he's making you question being tied to him for the rest of your life with a living human being. But it was good. I'm glad that I had that moment to question it. I, you know, that was for several years that lasted even past the divorce. I was just wondering if I was wanting it for the right reasons, like if I wanted to have kids because I wanted to see my parents interact with them and, you know, doing it for them, if I wanted to have kids for social reasons, if that for some weird fucked up narcissistic reasons, just to see like what my kids would look like. You know, so I challenged all those beliefs. But yeah, I mean, like in maturing, in growing up, I think I'm at a place where I do want kids eventually, whether or not like a serious partner comes along with me on that ride. Who knows? It's scary as fuck. Holy shit. Like being responsible for a human being, like I can barely handle the emotional baggage that it takes to take care of my fat calico. But I think I really want it. And yeah, I mean, as far as dads go, I hope that my children can have a great dad. So that's the show this week. Special thanks to Chris, Matt, and Terry for talking more about their new dad experiences. Thanks, of course, to my dad, Donald Drain. Thank you to Chris's wife for also allowing us into your lovely home to record. Make sure you subscribe and rate this podcast in whatever way you get your podcasts. I'm still trying to get into all of the the networks. So if you have a specific one that you use, let me know. I already know. You can find out more on puttingoutpodcast.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at puttingoutpodcast and on Twitter at puttingoutpod. Yeah, so I'll catch you next week. Self-care tip of the week is laugh or find some silly jokes. So in honor of the whole Father's Day thing, I pulled up some dad jokes. So strap in, guys. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? One's really heavy and the other is a little lighter. What do we want? Low flying plane noises. When do we want them? Meow.
Can I tell you some dad jokes?
You may tell me dad jokes.
So the first one is, what's Forrest Gump's computer password?
Forrest Gump's computer password.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is Forrest Gump's computer password?
It's 1 Forrest 1.
1 Forrest 1?
Yeah.
I get it. I don't get it, so.
Do you remember?
Not a very good joke.
Do you remember what Jenny would shout at Forrest?
Oh, she would shout, run, Forrest, run. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like you have a speech impediment. Say, one, Forrest, one.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
I used to have a job at a calendar factory, but I got the sack because I took a couple days off.
Yeah, that's kind of cute. Are all the jokes puns?
I mean, I feel like a lot of dad jokes tend to be pretty punny.
Because puns are stupid and dads are stupid, or...